This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWM, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's show features Shelley Ingram, the Associate Director of the new Cuesta College Ranch Education Program. This exciting certification curriculum is designed to train, educate, and create new farm and ranch employees and managers by providing graduates with a basic grounding in animal handling and care, training in ranch design and pasture management. It also emphasizes a regenerative, holistic, and sustainable ranching practices. Students will gain practical, hands-on experience in ranch design and repair. The call-in number is 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. Susan, I think you got something.
Well, you know, there's always something going on, right? This week there was a big kerfuffle with Bud Light, as many of you may have noticed. Bud, I didn't know this. I read the article that apparently Bud Light's market share has been decreasing as a lot of their usual customers are aging out. But they took kind of a big step and went with this whole promotion with Dylan Mulvaney, who's this transgender TikTok star. And it might have been too big a jump from the guys who watch football to that, because there's been a huge blowback. And, you know, their sales just tanked and people are all upset about it. And I looked at some of the branding comments made by other marketing managers and so forth, and they were like, my thing is like, okay, great. It's, you know, you want to be inclusive and you want to move more of the younger market to buy Bud Light, but maybe you should do it in steps instead of, like, you know, in such a big jump. I think they just freaked out a lot of their usual buyers.
Well, I think they alienated a lot,
yeah,
really.
And so, but a lot of the branding guys say, ah, this is just a flash in the pan, and people who really like Bud Light will be back.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Anyway, so before we introduce Shelley, there's actually something on my stack that came up to the top. There's been a lot of research in the last few months over the types of jobs that will be lost or gained due to all this artificial intelligence stuff that's coming online. And interestingly, the research that has been found that at least half of accounting tasks could be completed much faster with technology. So a lot of things that are very systematized,
repetitive,
those types of jobs will be eliminated. However, in another study, they found that many of the jobs that require blue-collar, hard and soft skills to be able to fix things, you know, to think outside the box, you know, will come into play. And that's the type of jobs that Shelley's new program at Cuesta College is designed to train on. So Shelley Ingram is a third-generation horsewoman who currently works at Cuesta College creating the ranch certification program. She is passionate about creating the next generation of knowledgeable farm and ranch workers and owners, designing farms and facilities for ease of use and the sustainability of natural resources. She began riding at her father's training stables where he retrained in Marin County, spoiled horses. I can't believe that there are spoiled horses. And she apprenticed with several of the top Arabian and saddlebred trainers in the United States prior to owning her own stable for more than 20 years. Shelley has guided winning show horse and rider combinations on the national level in several disciplines and has galloped racehorses and conditioned competitive endurance horses. In her extensive career, she has also worked as an equine soil conservationist, served as a land use planner in Santa Barbara and Marin counties, and designed layouts for ranches, equine, and cattle facilities. Shelley, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Well, thank you. You know, you've got an extensive background in agriculture, large animals, and livestock. How is it that you became part of the Cuesta College team, and what was the impetus for getting the Ranch Cert program started?
Well, I have always been involved in ag in a lot of different ways, and I started seeing this trend that there were people that wanted to be involved, and unlike when we, you know, like myself, I grew up on a ranch, and there are a lot of people out there, young people who want to do this kind of work, but they have no idea where to go to get the knowledge or the experience. Experience is a big thing. When I was growing up, we would have kids all the time coming up our driveway and asking my dad for a job, and he would gladly, you know, give it to them for not much pay. But so, and I, in talking with my friends in the horse business and my friends in the cattle industry, I kept hearing the same thing. You know, there's people that don't know how to handle animals. They don't know how to be around animals. They have no idea what it takes to take care of animals. And I was working in Northern California and looking, trying to figure out a way that I could, you know, make this happen. I had talked to some friends who had kind of done a weekend thing. And then I saw a job at Cuesta online. And they were looking for someone to run a program. Initially, it was out of Sheila Varian's ranch in Arroyo Grande, which the college was going to acquire at that time. And so I was hired just a little over a year ago. And after about 4 months, the college decided that they weren't going to pursue purchasing Sheila Varian's ranch. But we discovered that we actually had a 75-acre property directly across from the Cuesta SLO campus. That
kind of hard to misplace a 75-acre property.
Yeah. It was something that when they mentioned it to me, a study had just been completed for highest and best use. And they mentioned it to me because we were trying to figure out where we were going to go with this program. I drove across the street, and here was this just beautiful property. Hasn't been grazed in 50 years. Currently houses a cross-country track and a construction technology or construction technology classes, but that's all. And the highest and best use study showed that its best use was grazing. So I said, well, that sounds good to me. It's bounded on two sides by Cal Poly's Escuela Ranch, where they run cattle. And it's just down the road from the golf course on Dairy Creek.
All right. Great. Great.
Perfect. So you've been offering some classes in ranch education at Cuesta. What do these courses entail, and how does the expanded certification program take the whole project to the next level?
Well, we started with, at the college level, there's basically sort of three levels. One is called community programs, which you've kind of probably seen at your local community college, where anyone can come and take a class and just learn how to do something they want to do. And the next level is a non-credit, where you can learn a certificate or something like that. And then you have credit, which is a transferable thing for a degree. So the logical first step for us, since this is a brand new program that people have been wanting here, a lot of the ranchers in the area have been asking for this for quite a while. The logical step for us was to start with community programs. So we started with Dutch oven cooking, which is was a great class, and I felt like it tied into the ranch vibe because that's how I learned to cook. And we had two great classes that were done by a group from Los Angeles, and they came up. And then we have also had classes in low-stress livestock handling and holistic management, which were taught. Both of those classes were taught by Rob Rutherford, who used to be the professor in charge of the sheep unit at Cal Poly. And I have to say that all the instructors that I've talked to, everyone at Cal Poly has just been great. Aaron, who runs the beef unit there, has offered to include us in their rotation when we get our fencing up and we're ready to go. Rob has been great. He's retired now, but he's done several classes. And Beth Reynolds, who currently runs the sheep unit, has been super helpful, too.
So I know we're going to get to the expanded offering here in the next segment, but what's real quickly, because we're coming up on the break, what sort of career opportunities do you see this opening up for young people?
What we're hoping to focus on are the kind of people that do what I call the boots on the ground work. You know, so they know how to run a tractor, they know how to fix a little bit of everything, they know how to build a fence, they can take care of livestock, they can put up a temporary fence, move them, can work on a ranch for an equine facility. And also there's a great opportunity open for people that want to become goat and sheep herders for fire mitigation.
That's really neat.
Okay, well, when we return, we are going to unpack the whole program, the expanded program. It's got Shelley's got pages and pages of curriculum here, so we're going to we're going to get through that. So stay tuned for a couple more minutes, and we'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Roger Stern. Louisville, Kentucky Mayor Greg Greenberg pleading for stricter gun controls following yesterday's mass shooting in a local bank.
We need short-term action to end this gun violence epidemic now, so fewer people die on our streets.
A bank employee facing dismissal opened fire with an AR-15 rifle, killing five other people. He was killed by police, eight others wounded. No definitive answer yet about how classified Pentagon documents were leaked. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We're reaching out, as I said yesterday, at very high levels with relevant allies and partners and communicating with them.
Officials believe the leak originated on social media. They reveal intelligence on China, the Middle East, and the Ukrainian military. America is listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has the parts and expertise to repair any overhead door. From replacing weather stripping or garage door spring repair to programming garage door openers, their service teams are available for prompt dispatch to your home or business. Quality products and superior service. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
The Optimist Club of Paso Robles presents a great fundraiser movie afternoon at the Park Cinemas, Sunday, April 16th at 2 p.m. It's Irving Berlin's classic Easter Parade, starring Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. Your $20 ticket includes the movie and either champagne and chocolate or popcorn and soda. Don't miss Easter Parade on the big screen, April 16th at 2 p.m. Get your tickets at the Park Cinemas or online at parkcinemas.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Shelley Ingram, Associate Director of Instruction at Cuesta College and the developer of their new ranch certification program. KPRL call-in is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Hey, Shelley, do you have a profile of the type of student you'd like to attract to the program? And when do you expect the program to go live?
Well, it's really pretty open. Right now, the Ranch Ed program is under the Vocational Ed umbrella. So those classes, the non-credit classes for Vocational Ed, are open to anyone who's 18 or over, or high school students that are 16 and over if they have a permission from their high school to attend. And so we're looking at the students, high school students who are interested in animal science, ranch management, Even those that are interested in, you know, sustainable biology, it would be a good thing for them. We've had some talks with the California Conservation Corps camp, and they're interested in having their students come and possibly take the ranch management course because it involves a lot of construction and repair, and that's what they get to do all the time. So it's pretty broad right now. It's, like I said, it's open to anyone who's over 18, and it is free to the student.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, and what's your enrollment goal?
We're hoping to get in this very in the first classes that start in the fall, we're hoping to get between 10 and 20 students.
Great. Okay. So let's dig into the details of the certification program. I think the listeners will be interested in that. And I'll just let you take it from here. I know you have four courses that you've developed, and I'll let you kind of go through them at your own pace and describe them to our listeners.
Well, we started this program thinking about, you know, what ranchers and other farmers, equine facilities really needed. And even if you were going to become a sheep or goat herd for fire mitigation, you would need to have a lot of these skills. So we felt like it should be divided into four different classes, and those classes are farm maintenance, animal ID and handling, animal health, and land use and grazing. And I probably stuck my oar in a little bit there because I come from a land use planning background, and I've seen a lot of people who've bought agricultural properties with no ideas that there are actually land use restrictions on what you can do. So, but the classes we're hoping to start this fall. We will probably have what's a late start at Cuesta for this fall, which means the first class will start in October. And we will probably start with the introduction to farm maintenance, because this is a class that we feel has a lot of the skills that many of the students are looking for. It's about, you know, learning to fix fence, do a little bit of irrigation, building and maintaining shelters, watering systems, landscaping, because that always comes in for most ranches and farms. And for that class, and just kind of being around the animals at first, how to deal with doing these kind of jobs, we are going to have a little sessions on welding. And our welding instructor at Cuesta has said that we can use all of the facilities there, and we'll do those probably on Saturdays. And we are going to have tractor classes also, how to operate, how to do basic repairs. So I've had a lot of people call about tractor classes. In fact, I had one gentleman call, and he was really interested in learning about tractors because he was an actor and he was going up for a position.
That's great.
For a job.
I love it.
So I was like, you're going to have to wait.
Well, I would put him on the manure management.
Right.
That's later. The curriculum.
Yeah. That's later in the animal health.
That caught my eye.
Right. So, but that is something that, you know, also, again, from the hats I've worn in my life, that's something that when I was a resource conservationist, we saw a lot of. You know, you see people, and I'm a horse person, so I can say this, particularly horse people who don't really utilize what they have. You know, you can use manure, you can do composting. There's great composting systems out there now that are not expensive. You don't even need one. And that's something that we did want to go into on the animal health, where we get into a lot of, you know, how do you keep animals healthy, keeping where they are clean, and then also using that product that comes out of that, which is really valuable if you're a grass farmer.
I would think,
yeah. So that's, you know, manure management is a big thing. Yeah. Also, we did do one class just on livestock ID and handling, because something I've seen a lot out there, and I've had people, ranchers and some of my friends that are still in the horse business mention, is a lot of people don't know how to be safe around animals anymore. And it's something that, you know, there's a lot of anthropomorphizing out there.
Yeah.
Horses and cattle are not people, you know, and they react in different ways, and you need to know how to be around them so you can prevent problems as well as, you know, take care of them and not get yourself hurt. So
yeah, I worked with horses a lot in my youth, and boy, and I worked with racehorses at one point that are like super charged. I think you did too.
Yes.
You really have to know. It's almost like a Zen attitude you get into where you keep yourself really calm and you're watching the horse every second, and you just know how to move and be around them so that you don't freak them out. Yeah, because they can really hurt you. They move so fast and they're so strong. Yeah, it's a whole science in itself.
It is.
Yeah.
One of the great classes that we did have just this last month was Rob Rutherford, who's a certified holistic instructor. And he came and gave a class in low-stress livestock handling. And it was great because we had people out there. He has sheep. And just how they could see how they could deal with these sheep and move them around without putting any stress on the sheep or them or any problem. And it's you know, really a good science to learn.
I think that's great. It's really important for this kind of work, for sure.
Yep.
So where is all this training and education going to take place?
So right now we are, as I mentioned before, we're kind of based on this 75 acres. I just call it the 75 acres. It has a classroom number, which is 4,800. And it's directly across the street from the Cuesta SLO campus. So it's very easy for students to get to. They can take the bus to campus and walk up the hill. They can drive there. Right now, we're working on getting the perimeter fence because the property does border on Highway 1, and the perimeter fence is not in great condition. So we have been trying to get the perimeter fence in since February, but as you all know, it's a little wet out there. So
yeah.
We're still waiting to do that. Hopefully, that will get done this summer. And then we have plans to put in a 12,000-gallon water tank for livestock watering and then some piping to so that when we bring in the temporary fence, we can separate the property out. And we will be doing all of this around the cross-country track.
And when, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, no kidding.
When I spoke to our head of the athletics department, he was overjoyed because he said it's so boring running around that track, and now we will get to see all these animals out there.
There you go.
That's neat.
So we're happy to do that.
So in the course outline, you describe hard and soft skills that you'll be developing in your students. Can you talk about those and how to, you know, differentiate between the two?
Well, the hard skills are things that I mentioned, you know, knowing how to drive a tractor, knowing how to build a fence, how to run an irrigation line. Soft skills are what a lot of the employers and a lot of the ranchers that I talked to mentioned to me, and that's what seems like very simple things, showing up on time, mm-hmm. being responsible, and especially realizing that with animals in particular, you have to be there. You can't just call and say, I'm not going to make it today. So,
right.
'Cause they still need to eat and they still need water. And so all those kind of soft skills, problem solving, critical thinking, being able to do the kind of things that when I was growing up on a ranch, you know, your pump breaks and you don't have the size pipe you need, how do you figure that out? You know, and when I originally thought of this program, I really wanted that to be the final in one of the classes.
Right. Yes.
Was, you know, okay, you've got this size pipe and this size pipe, and you've got some baling wire, and you've got some duct tape, and how are you going to make this work?
So, yeah. Because that's life in the real world, right?
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
And that's the kind of thing, those are the kind of soft skills that we see people want. One of the things I've had mentioned from by a lot of ranchers was bring back ag math.
Ag math. So what is ag math?
Ag math used to be a class at Cal Poly that you could take, and it was mathematics that you would use on a ranch, like how much cement goes in a post hole, how much seed is going to go on this field. And I think that's a great idea, and we are going to incorporate that.
That's very cool.
That makes perfect sense, because they don't teach you that in high school in your math class, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How many seeds do you need to cover how many acres and all that kind of stuff? Wow.
Yeah. And it's one of the big things that we see all the time is the temporary fence comes in, you know, 220-foot lengths, and you've got to fence off this acre. Do you really want to be, you know, setting up your fence, and then you get and you have a big hole, and then you have to move all the fence? So, you know,
right,
it's good to know how to figure those things out.
And the animals, you know, how many pounds of hay or grain or whatever does it take to feed certain animals? And that's really important when you're ordering that stuff. And
and also, if you're in the business of ag, figuring out what your costs are, you know. So if it costs you, you know, $200 to produce the meat that then you sell for $150, you're not going to be in business for very long.
That's true.
There you go.
So those are the kind of things.
Yeah. So how will students need to show proficiency in these various areas?
Well, we're hoping these classes for the certificate program are really, really focused on hands-on lab situations. So we want to see, you know, if we're building a fence, we want to see them be able to do that.
Right.
Great. All right. When we return, we'll discuss the ranch certification program, continue to discuss it, and you're going to find out how the community can get involved in this Cuesta College Ranch certification program. So stand by.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed as investors remain cautious ahead of March's inflation data on Wednesday, which will determine the Fed's next interest rate moves. Tech stocks continue to slide, weighing on the tech-heavy NASDAQ, and Bitcoin rallying to its highest level in 10 months, climbing above $30,000. And Boeing, one of the Dow's gainers after the aerospace giant said it delivered 130 commercial jets in the first quarter, which was 37% more than the first quarter of last year. And shares of WW International, the parent of Weight Watchers, surging after announcing that it had closed its deal to acquire telehealth company Sequence. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Home Depot, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and Salesforce. The Dow rising 98 points, the NASDAQ down 52, S&P 500 down a fraction. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Democrats just want to win the next election, and they're trying to do it with ceaseless money printing. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon. It is critical to protect your retirement right now with a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get a free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. There's nothing to buy and no obligation at all. Text the word SHELTER to 989898 to get a free info kit on gold.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The month of April at Coast Electronics has some specials that are worth coming in for.
This is John Weiss, the owner of Coast Electronics Radio Shack stores in Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and Morro Bay.
We are having some awesome specials. Great deals, great products, great prices, and our loss is really your gain. We have a good number of flat screen TVs, speakers. We have some specialty items like infrared thermometers, you know, for taking your temperature, push a button, you know your temperature within 2-3 seconds. We have some telephones on special, car stereos, car stereo speakers. Each store has their own individual mix of specials. Some items will be common to all, but you can save significantly during the month of April.
The spring inventory clearance sale is going on right now, this April, at Coast Electronics.
Shop local. Shop Coast Electronics, your Radio Shack dealer in Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and Morro Bay, where the knowledgeable staff and team of technicians are ready to serve you, all with a smile.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Shelley Ingram, Associate Director of Instruction at Cuesta College and the developer of their new ranch certification program. The KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238 KPRL. You know, Shelley, in the information that you sent me for you know, prepping for the show, I was really struck by the scope of the agricultural business in San Luis Obispo County. I mean, it's really vast. And, of course, it's even bigger throughout the state. I just don't think people who live in the metropolitan areas even have a clue what's out there. But just in San Luis Obispo County, you noted that there was over 1 million grazable acres just in the county, over 46,000 head of cattle. We have equine operations, targeted grazing of goats and sheep, and, of course, the wine industry. So can you unpack some of these aspects of the ag business in San Luis Obispo County, and where do you see the greatest needs locally right now and the career opportunities that will open up for your students? And specifics would be great.
Well, I think especially in the grazing, you know, grazing of cattle, there are so many large ranches here that produce sustainably produced beef. And that's a huge thing in San Luis Obispo County. And people really want to have people. I've seen what part of my job is to look every day at ads online, look and see what people are looking for. And I've seen a lot of ads looking for people that have knowledge about sustainable grazing practices. And that's something that we really want to promote. And I think there's Beth Reynolds, who is at Cal Poly, is very well known as a person who works. She has her own goat herding business, too. And she works in the fire mitigation field. And people that I've talked to in that field have told me that a person with a herd of goats can make, you know, over $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
pretty
it's,
amazing.
It's become a much more viable thing for a sole proprietor because they've just enacted some new employment laws in California that make it very difficult for people that there used to be these huge operations that had, you know, 4,000 goats and 40 different herders, and now they're required to pay the herders. If they're on site, they have to pay them 24 hours a day, which they never.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it made it very restrictive for them. And so, but it's opened up a great opportunity for someone that wants to have get into that business themselves. It's not for everyone because you're kind of a nomad and, you know, you're moving around and you're out in the country with your goats or your sheep. But it's very appealing to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to several people who've been trying to get these kind of things started. And in fact, a couple of the people that came to our low-stress livestock handling class were interested in doing just that. And that was the only class they could find where they could at least get some information. So they're interested in the classes starting this fall, too. As far as, like, the equine business in this county is great, too. I mean, there's a huge world-class facility that was just built in Paso Robles. And there's still, you know, a lot of competitions that go on there, and that would be a great place for students from this program to work, because they would have all the maintenance skills and know how to, you know, keep arenas in good stead and do all those kind of things. And wineries, I think anyone that goes through this program could go to work for a winery. Of course, there wouldn't be, we do have viticulture classes at Cuesta too, which if someone came to our program and found that was what they were really interested in, then they could go and take classes in viticulture and plant science, soil science. So
wow.
I kind of see it as this the Ranch Ed program as being a program for people that want to go out and work on ranches, also for people that may want to be introduced to where else they can go.
Are you planning any kind of special recruiting programs, like at the fair or anything like that, in the coming months?
Right now I've been thinking about going to the fair. I've been going around and talking to different associations. And in fact, after I spoke at the Cattlemen's Association, I got a call from James Grantham, who's on their board of directors, I believe. And he's just a really great person and has been super helpful. He's going to help me with some of the welding classes when we start in the fall, and with a lot of the cattle. And he has told me that he has 8 students right now that are interested from Templeton.
That's great.
So, yeah. And I have been reaching out to local high school instructors, some of whom have told me they have between, 10 and 20 students every year that are interested in animal science and would want to take this program.
You said earlier that you were hoping to get, I think you said 10 to 20 students, but suppose you get 30 or 40. Can you handle them?
Yep.
Okay, great. That'd be good. That's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah, we'd be very happy to have that problem.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
It's mostly just getting the word out, and that's what we're, you know, last year I was focused a lot on getting the program established, and then now we're trying to just get the word out.
That's great. Does this tie into the University of California in some way?
This program does not. It's okay. Just a certificate program that's kind of a standalone vocational program.
Okay.
But some of the classes that, say, a student comes and they say, wow, I really like this welding. I want to do that. You know, we do have credit classes in welding and where you can get a certificate. Also, construction technology, you can get, I believe, a transfer degree or a certificate. And I'm working right now on next year having a transfer degree for animal science.
Great.
So that, because we'll have all the practical, you know, hands-on animal handling right there, and then we can do a couple of classes that we don't offer at Cuesta right now that will allow us to do a transfer degree.
Great. That's great. So it's like foundational for people that could go in different directions.
Yes,
yeah,
very.
That's perfect.
Does Cuesta have a way to channel these young people to these other programs that are outside of the college as they take these courses?
Yes, they do. And we have a lot of counselors and people that are very familiar with, you know, being able to allow students to go into different areas and to get credits for things they've already done. And that's kind of what we're trying to get that all focused now, so that by 2024, we will have the animal science component moving forward.
Great.
That's great. You know, I want to ask a question that about regenerative agriculture,
mm-hmm.
which is a term I hear all the time, but could you explain a little more about what that is?
It just basically means it's like sustainable. Something that, you know, you're putting something in and you're going to get something back. So a really good example of regenerative agriculture would be using the compost, if you had horses or cattle, composting the manure and then using it on your field. So then you're basically regenerating.
Right. Like the using earth. It to grow more hay or more grass or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So you just keep putting, it's like the cycle. You're just working with the cycle of nature instead of against it.
Very much. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different ways that you can approach it. You know, there's holistic management, which is looks at your all your life. You know, it looks at everything you do, and that's how they approach your farming practices. So you can have grazing, and that's another thing that I really want this program to create, because part of holistic management is being able to allow time for yourself, which is one of the things that if a rancher, a farmer, a horse person, as you know, Susan, you don't get a lot of time.
That is true.
For yourself.
Yeah.
So
7 days a week they need taken care of, right?
Every day.
Yep.
And what I'm hoping to, one of the things we're hoping to establish with this program is a network for people that are involved in the program, so that if they do want to take a week off, they know that, oh, yeah, they went through the Questor program too, so I can trust them. And I know them, and, you know, there's people out there. And I will have to bring up there is another aspect that I know of personally, is I take care, sometimes I will stay at people's ranches or horse facilities if they go away and take care of their horses. And I could probably do that 365 days a year. And there's a huge market for that out there, because you cannot find people who are knowledgeable and trustworthy.
Yeah, well, our dog sitter does a lot of that.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
it's very similar.
I hear the music coming up. Shelley, how can people get in touch with you and to offer up some help?
So the best way is to just call me. My cell number is 628-888-4012, or you can email me at Shelley, Shelley, underscore Ingram, Ingram, at Questa.edu.
All right. Well, that's great. And, you know, folks, if you need that information again, just email me at info@blazinbear.com. We'll be back in about 2 minutes to wrap up the show. Thanks so much.
It's tax time, and Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero, what is the most asked question?
When is the deadline to file?
And the answer is?
Technically, October 16th for all but 7 counties in California. Estimated payments, though, if you're subject to making quarterly estimates, those are still retaining the normal schedule. So those are still due April, June, September, and January. But as far as filing deadlines, it's officially October 16th.
So, Nick, October 16th is the new filing date because of Slo County's designation as a disaster zone.
Not only if you live in a disaster zone, if your preparer is located in a disaster zone, you are qualified then of also having the extended deadline.
Have a tax question? Contact Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero, 805-466-7249.
Dove's Paso Soul Food Grill is now open at 14th and Park in Paso Robles. Fresh and flavorful, their food is prepared daily using only the best quality ingredients. Fresh fried chicken made to order from scratch, crab and crawfish bags, and their best-seller catfish. Dove's Paso Soul Food Grill. Everything tastes like a home-cooked meal. Fried green tomatoes, hush puppies, black-eyed peas, cornbread, collard greens, red beans and rice, mac and cheese. It's all authentic home-style food that's good for your soul. Enjoy classic R&B hits on their sound system while dining indoors or out. You can also order online for pickup or relax at home and get great soul food delivered right to your door. See their menu at pasogrill.com. Family owned and operated, they love locals because they are local. Dove's Paso Soul Food Grill. Look for the big Paso Grill sign at 14th and Park.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. You know, Susan, that was really a great show. This is one of the reasons why I like living in the Central Coast, and especially North County, because, you know, I grew up in the big city, and this just makes this area so special.
It really does. And this is so needed, because we've talked to so many ranchers and farmers who are just begging for people to work for them that know how to handle that kind of work. And so this will be great.
Well, and just like you mentioned, I mean, just, you know, before the end of the segment, it was like just somebody that can we have a hard time getting dog sitters all the right. time, you know, because and our dog sitter does what a lot of what Shelley does for horses and right. other animals. So, right. and she's always going back and forth. She's always busy. So yep. it's really great. All right. Well, listen, next week's show, before we get into the last few stack articles to do some follow up here, next week's show will feature Kelly Briggs, who's the executive vice president and chief operating officer of Cecelock Credit Union, and Sandra Batista Floyd, the local Paso Robles branch manager of Cecelock. And the topics will include the financial pressures in the banking industry and how credit unions may answer some of your concerns. So just as a kind of a wrap-up, you know, Susan, we I've got too much paper in front of me here. So I think the last show we ended talking about this study from the Claremont Institute about how many billions of dollars is going to Planned Parenthood, and I do want to do trans education in the schools and all this type of thing. And in fact, I want to thank somebody did contact me for that study, and I hope you got it and you found it interesting. But I opened up my web browser today, and of course, the first article I saw is on Fox News was California mom confronts school district after 11-year-old changed genders without her knowledge. This actually happened in Chico Unified School. This woman, Aurora Regino, said her 11-year-old daughter's elementary school, Chico Unified School District, helped her transition from female to male, you know, which, you know, we could go on about that whole nonsense in a minute, but at some point during the last school year, but the guidance counselor kept her in the dark. Okay. You know, again, there's something wrong with this.
But I don't see how someone can be doing that over a whole semester and the mother doesn't know.
Well,
I mean, it seems strange, right? If your child is changing that much, it seems a little strange to me
that
could even happen.
The article goes on to say, during one of the meetings, my daughter told the counselor she wanted to tell me about her new identity. They ignored her request and did nothing to support her in letting me know what was going on at the school. So, again, I think you're absolutely right in a certain regard. This cuts both ways.
Right.
You know, the school shouldn't be doing this. But on the other hand, parents really need to be involved in their kids' education and what's going on.
It just seems impossible that someone would not notice that this is going on over a whole semester or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah. Then there was another article this came out of, we now have medical reparations in place. This came from the City Journal, which is a publication of the Manhattan Institute. Medical reparations have arrived. Changes designed to increase black patients' access to kidney transplants, pervert good medicine, and punish white patients to right non-existent wrongs. The article goes on to say that the Oregon Procurement and Transplantation Network and the United Network for Organ Sharing are implementing new policies to make skin color a crucial factor in who receives life-saving kidney transplants. The shift is perhaps the most dangerous victory for wokeness in the healthcare to date. Okay, so what do you think of that, Susan?
I guess, I mean, I don't know enough about this kind of thing, but, I mean, I would think, like, if someone, like, the tissue, what do you call it? You know, the tissue ID, which is a very complicated thing, like, that someone could actually receive a kidney from another person, does that have something to do with race? Like, I don't think a white person can only get a kidney from a white person, or a black person couldn't. You know, can only get one from a black person, right? I don't know. I don't know anything about the medical part, but it seems like if that is not true, then, you know, it should be based on the medical need and the condition of the person. Are they healthy and can they receive it and mm-hmm. and prosper after that and all that? You know.
Well, the activists, of course, say it's all about bias, but according to the studies, it is a problem. However, again, part of it has to do with people's age and their medical conditions of many black patients with diabetes-related kidney failure. Many of these patients are also relatively satisfied with the dialysis treatments that they're getting. So again, you know, again, this is one of those disturbing trends that's happening in the medical field. But certainly concerns me.
Well, the whole thing, though, I mean, see, I always can see both sides for good or ill, but it could well be true that especially people that don't, that are low income or whatever, if there are more of those, you know, among the black people and the white people that don't get the, they're not taking good care of themselves all along, you know, I get that. But the focus then should be on helping them take better care of themselves all along so that they don't need a kidney transplant. You know what I mean? In addition to making sure they get the care they need, it's helping people, you know, eat better and, you know, do the basics for themselves so they can be better in better health all the way along. That's how I see it.
Well, you know, again, at some level, for all the years that we've been involved in the insurance industry and medical insurance, and particularly in your case, you know, things have not gotten any better with all of these reforms and in many regards. I mean, we got great technologies, but again, they're hard to access sometimes.
Well, the biggest issue, I mean, I was in the health insurance industry for 26 years, and I can't even imagine what it's like now. And what used to bug me back then, and I'm sure it's 10 times worse, is that the more the government at all levels gets involved in health care, the more every single level of that care structure, from the local doctor who sees you all the way through the medical groups, the hospitals, and so on, the more their energy, time, and money is devoted to paperwork and regulations as opposed to actual patient care.
Right. Well, Susan, that was a great show. Thank you so much. And I just want to say, you know, we've got another great show coming up next week. Blazing Bear Insurance Services is here to help you protect what matters most with the strategic use of life, disability, long-term care insurance, fixed annuities, and business valuation. Contact us today, 805-635-7200. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Have a great week.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry at blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's